Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, the second day of March 2012. I am Bill Buckmaster, and thank you for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1, right here on The Voice, KVOI, AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And then we have our Voice Network partners in Douglas, Cochise County residents. Listen to us on 9:30 a.m. KAPR, and in Gila County and Globe, Eastern Arizonans listen to the Buckmaster Show on KJAA AM 1240. And I heard this week that folks were actually listening to us over in Western New Mexico and Silver City as well. So hello to all of our friends listening to the Buckmaster Show in New Mexico. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. If you miss a particular program, we try to have all of our programs archived at buckmastershow.com. And we also have three venues to choose from for 24/7, anytime, anywhere in the world listening. We are on buckmastershow.com. We're on TucsonSentinel.com, Tucson's online news service, and TucsonCitizen.com. We begin our Friday program with the Friday Focus interview featuring a Southern Arizona newsmaker. Today we welcome Jim DeGrude. He is the Director of Transportation Services for the Regional Transportation Authority. Joining me to question Mr. DeGrude is Dylan Smith, speaking of the TucsonSentinel.com.
Great to be here.
Yeah, Dylan is the editor and publisher of thesentinel.com, and we welcome you, our listeners, to join us from wherever you are listening to this program on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. If you have a question or a comment about the RTA or Southern Arizona transportation in general, Mr. DeGrude would be happy to entertain all of those questions. Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Dylan has already voiced in. Good morning, Dylan, and good morning, Jim DeGrude. Thanks for being
good
with
morning.
Us.
Good morning. Thanks, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here today.
You know, the modern streetcar is kind of the marquee issue right now for the RTA. Give us the nuts and bolts of the Tucson's modern streetcar project. What is involved with this project, Jim?
Well, thanks, Bill. The modern streetcar project is basically a 3.9-mile modern streetcar. It's as opposed to the trolleys that we may be thinking of in the past. This is a contemporary vehicle, commonly seen in Europe and now starting to be seen in the streets of the United States in some of our major urban areas. We are actually looking at a streetcar vehicle that is identical to ones that are plying the streets in Portland today. And that project begins basically by the U of A Medical Center, crosses Speedway on the existing underpass over there next to, I think it's Vine Street, goes up Second Street along the north side of the university campus, turns up Park, and goes to University, from University to 4th Avenue. Takes 4th Avenue through the underpass under the railroad tracks into downtown, goes splits down Broadway and Congress Street, goes past the front entrance to the Tucson Convention Center and then under the interstate across the Santa Cruz into the and terminates over by the El Rio Neighborhood Center.
Here's Dylan Smith.
So what's the RTA's side to this issue that's going on with the city over – basically, it's over ownership of the actual streetcars itself, themselves,
yeah.
Right?
Well, you know, from our position, we're the single largest investor in the project. If you look at the way transit vehicles are acquired, most often in the past they're acquired with federal money. The federal government takes a lien on the vehicle. Once the vehicle exceeds its useful life, the city can dispose of it as they choose. However, we have an interest in it as long as it's a viable asset.
How long of a period is that? How long are the streetcars good for?
Well, you know, the streetcars can be refurbished and used for many, many years. Transit bus typically about 12 to 15 years. I think 12 is the length of time that it stays on lien. But you know, as the investor, I think we are interested certainly in the ownership of the asset. And the way the agreement is has been changed. I think what has all what the controversy about is about right now is basically some language change that basically said that the ownership of the vehicle would be originally was going to be with the city. The current language says that we will agree and mutually agree upon the ownership of the assets upon the completion of the construction of the project. So it is by no means a foregone conclusion that we would want to take interest in that.
Well, specifically, wherein lies your interest? I mean, the RTA was set up to build things, not to run things, right?
Correct.
It's your job to go build stuff, not to take care of it long term. In fact, you've only got another 15 years left to run before the RTA is over with.
Well, here's where we really have an interest. When we went out to bond this past year, we went to Moody's and to Standard & Poor's. Both of them asked us, you know, who owns the asset? Mm-hmm. And basically what they told us during our rating discussions that we would have a stronger bond rating if we had the asset on our books. And really that's, you know, what is primarily driving our interest at this point is
– So there is there is an actual dollars and cents issue behind this. It's not just, I don't want to use the phrase on the radio, but a certain match between these two organizations.
Yes. And it is typical, Jim DeGroote, that – when you look at other cities and the handling of their assets, like the Modern Streetcar Project, the authority running those projects typically owns the asset.
That's typically the case, yeah.
Yeah. You're prepared this morning to – or this afternoon to share with our listeners a timetable. I think you've narrowed down pretty much when this – whole thing, the groundbreaking is going to happen. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'm probably not the best person to tell you about timeframes, but what I can tell you is that we are moving steadily towards getting this project underway. The project's been bid. The rail and the electric infrastructure, which is really the key to this whole project, largest construction aspect of it. And that is set to break ground in probably the second week of April. I think they're still working on dates, but we're coming very close. And that'll be a substantial piece of work in our community.
Yeah, and this projects like this just are not done overnight. I mean, you're talking about 4 miles. It is going to be disruptive. And what is kind of the time? How do you begin at the where do you begin?
Where do we begin? Well, you know, we have to certainly get the contractor's input on how they want to execute the project
And that will be all Pueblo Track Works?
Correct.
The official low bidder there?
That's they're the official low bidder. Who is Old Pueblo Track Works? Well, the local face of that is Granite Construction. Their local Tucson office is a part of the joint venture that's Old Pueblo Track Works. And anyway, so they're a familiar face. They have a very good reputation in the community for delivering projects and delivering them with good relations with the adjoining property owners. So once they have a construction schedule, and I believe there are going to be open houses that are coming up, I'd ask
next
you
week actually.
Yeah, and you can.
There's three of them, and folks can get all that information
right
at the RTA website.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. City of Tucson also, their transportation department website also has similar information. In fact, there's maybe even a better location for you to go.
Jim DeGroote is with us. He is from the RTA, Director of Transportation Services, and Dylan Smith is the editor publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan?
Whenever I'm on Bill's show, I always have a call out to our readers that, you know, what sort of questions are they interested in asking of whomever we're going to be interviewing. And we had a really tremendous response on our website, on Facebook, and I got a ton of emails just sort of asking more broad policy questions. Mm-hmm. Is it time, you know, the RTA's construction brief was based on a certain projection of growth. And it was, you know, mainly to, you know, we need to widen some roads. We need to build new roads out in the outlying areas. That sort of growth is no longer happening. it's, you know, probably won't start up again that way for quite some time. Is it time for the legislature or the voters to take another look at the RTA and its focus and maybe shift some of that money from building new fancy things to taking care of our surface streets in Tucson?
Well, you know, from our standpoint, we're committed to building the plan as the voters voted upon them. And
you don't have an option to change it.
I don't have
right
an option.
No.
You're right. This is the voters' mandate. And when the state legislature created the RTA, they basically said, you have to declare what it is that you're going mm-hmm. to build, and you have to stick with that plan. Otherwise, you have to go back to the voters to get it changed. So really, that is the only avenue for changing the plan that we have. We also have the opportunity to extend the plan, you know, at some point in time. And I think, you know, that's probably something we ought to start talking about. And when we do that, perhaps we can change the mix. But right now, from our standpoint, you know, this is what we've got to work with. And if the voters don't approve the change to the plan, it stays as it is already approved. So from our standpoint, we're continuing to go forward. And to your point on the streets that are on the outlying fringes, I would submit to you that the perception of the people in the outlying fringe area is that the roads that we're talking about are needed now. And so I don't think a person's perception of what Tangerine Road may have felt like when they drove on it 5 years ago is consistent with today's reality.
And one of those questions coming in on Facebook was from our friend Mark Evans at TucsonCitizen.com and Jim DeGrood. Mark was wondering about this subject, whether or not some of the money, the $1 billion in delayed street work that needs to be done over the next 10 years in the city of Tucson, whether the RTA has the power to help out in any way?
Well, you know, I think the help that we provide is that many of those shot roads that we're talking about that need to be repaired, substantially replaced, are roads that we're talking about repairing and widening. So to the extent that we're looking at Broadway Boulevard, Grant Road, you know, roads that, you know, 22nd Street, roads that are in need of some rehabilitation, to the extent they're on our plan, we are helping them. But that's the limit that we can go with the RTA. I think there's really a tremendous structural problem in how we fund the repair and maintenance of our streets, and it is getting worse. When you look down the road, I mean, right now we're pretty much pegged to the cost of or the gasoline tax. In 1963, the gas tax in the state of Arizona was 6 cents a gallon. Today it's 18 cents, so it's tripled. During that same period of time, the cost of construction has gone up tenfold. The last time we looked at it being changed was in 1991 or 92, when it was raised to 18 cents. It hasn't changed since then.
And with more fuel efficient vehicles, we're using a lot less gas per vehicle mile driven than we used to.
Bingo. And that's going to get worse. You know, we're marching towards doubling our fuel efficiency of our fleet over the next 20 years.
And the road takes the same kind of pounding. The vehicle might be a little bit lighter, but there's still a car driving on it.
Exactly.
Right?
You know, the only thing that's happening is that, if you look at the last 20 years, you know, we have not seen much change in the fuel efficiency of vehicles. In fact, it dropped maybe 1 mile to the gallon. But we took our 1976 mm-hmm. Honda Civic and traded it in for a newer version that's mm-hmm. much bigger.
Yeah.
And look at the SUVs.
12:18 on the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday Focus. Jim DeGroot is with us from the RTA. Is the RTA is a project coming to a neighborhood near you? When we continue with the Buckmaster Show, we will have Jim DeGroot kind of give us an update. We're about 6 years into the 20-year program for RTA. What are some of the big marquee road projects coming up? Stay with us on the Buckmaster Show.
Two or
of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50-plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Twenty-two on the Buckmaster Show. It's our Friday Focus. Jim DeGroote is with us. Mr. DeGroote is the Director of Transportation Services for the Regional Transportation Authority. We've been talking about the modern streetcar project, groundbreaking set for around middle of April. Dylan Smith is with us. He is the editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com, Tucson's independent online news service.
You said it, brother.
Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Okay. Jim, let's get back now to the RTA. It's a 20-year program. The approval came in May, about 6 years ago. So we're kind of at the beginning stages of the second five-year plan. What are some of the big projects for the second year plan?
Well, for the second period.
Phase, period, yes.
Second period, we've got some really big projects coming up. Many of them we've already been well underway with planning. For instance, Grant Road, that's the single largest project that the RTA is involved in, $160 million, basically looking at widening it from Oracle Road on the west to Swan on the east, continuing the six-lane section that we've got east of there and bringing it towards the interstate. That's our biggest project. I believe the city will be getting underway with that probably this summer at Oracle Road. I know if you've driven through the intersection, you've probably already been dodging the utility workers that are out moving things out of the way so that we can get going in earnest with the project.
That's quite a project.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a multi-year deal,
that's
right?
Yes, absolutely. That is huge. We'll be looking at multiple phases. We'll start. We'll look at starting on the west end at Oracle, moving through the First Avenue intersection on the second phase, and then jumping to the east end towards Swan and Alvernon, and working towards the center basically. The other projects that we've got going, we'll be looking at work on Houghton. Houghton from Irvington Road to Valencia and Broadway to 22nd Street. Those are projects that are just about in the can design-wise, and in fact, we expect to see that Houghton Road, at least the south portion of it, go to construction here in the next few months. The city is on the verge of bidding reconstruction of the Keno and 22nd Street intersection. That's a big project. And then downtown links. We've actually started with the drainage work for that. People may not know it, but all of downtown, or a good portion of downtown Tucson, is in the floodplain from the Tucson Arroyo and High School Wash. And the Army Corps of Engineers has been successively building basins up and down the upstream portion of it. Well, through downtown and through 4th Avenue, there's a conduit that's been in place since the 20s that has to be replaced and upgraded. It's under some of the tracks for the streetcar, so that's the first thing that we're working on. But it'll be replaced basically from the Broadway and Broadway and Euclid area all the way to St. Mary's and Main Street area. So it's an extensive reconstruction of that. That's what you see right now down around the 4th Avenue area. The construction that's underway is that drainage work.
Before I go to you, Dylan, here's a call that came in. Didn't want to go on the air, but Rose Brandt, my wonderful producer, has it up on the screen for me in big letters so I could almost read this without my glasses. Is the Kenny Aho widening project on the RTA docket?
That's not one of our projects. That's on the state system. And I believe the state of Arizona has got something underway for that intersection. I don't know offhand what the time frame is for that, but that's clearly something that we've identified as a priority.
Dylan Smith.
Besides the RTA and the city going head-to-head over the ownership of the streetcars. Another spot where there's some intergovernmental headbutting going on is the Silverbell widening. What's going on with that? What's
that
situation?
With Silverbell Road, what we've got is I think what's really driving the concern on that is the shortfall of funds. What happened was we did some cost estimates before the RTA ballot was prepared. Now, mind you, if you look back in time, we'd never done any really comprehensive cost estimates. With the RTA plan, we did two sets of cost estimates, hired two different engineering firms. They both gave us their best opinions of costs. So we went into it as well armed as we've ever been from a cost estimating standpoint. And one of the things that was not fully understood by the teams that were looking at it and estimating the cost was the extent of archaeology. Basically, that's Silverbell Road, it seems, is kind of the birthplace of Tucson. And all up and down it, we've got archaeological features, some of which have been disturbed by development, some of which remain to be dealt with. And the team, as they've been going through the planning and design of it, identified the extent, the true extent of what the archaeological resources are in the area, and have put an estimate of about $12 million to the cost of remediating.
Let's go to Richard now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Richard has a question about the modern streetcar project for Jim DeGroote. Go ahead, Richard.
Yes, Bill, I wanted to ask, will the streetcar turn a profit? I know it's very, very expensive to build it. Our economy is in tough times. What can we look for the future costs or profits or losses from this?
Okay, thank you, Richard.
Yeah, I think that the way our community will capture the revenues from this is not at the fare box. You know, this is going to cost us about $3 million a year to operate. But what it's doing is it's really creating additional value along its corridor, and we're already seeing the tower cranes along the alignment. We're seeing the community reinvest in itself And the spinoff of that is where I think we're really going to see the benefits in the long term on that.
Jim DeGroote has been with us on Friday Focus, and looks like the modern streetcar project. Well, the total time, that's a, how many year project is that? We didn't mention that.
Well, the modern streetcar, we're looking at the end of 2013 as being the beginning of revenue service. You'll actually see the vehicles up and down the track in testing modes prior to that.
Okay. Jim DeGroote, thank you very much. Dylan Smith, thanks a lot, Dylan. You stay over, Dylan, for our Reporters Roundtable.
You
Jimmy Bogle will join us from the Weekly. That's coming up, the Friday Reporters Roundtable on Buckmaster.
Thanks,
thank
Bill.
You, Jim.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. As predicted, more violent storms are materializing today across parts of the South. In northern Alabama, apparent tornadoes destroyed houses and ripped up the roof of a maximum security prison. Some people are being treated at hospitals, but no injuries reported at the prison, and no inmates have escaped. Two French journalists who were smuggled out of a war-torn Syrian city where they were trapped for 9 days have now returned home. President Obama warns Israel that a premature attack on Iran would do more harm than good, but in an interview with Atlantic magazine, the president also warned that he's not bluffing about attacking Iran if it builds a nuclear weapon. The Dow down about 14 points, the NASDAQ is off 12, and the S&P 5 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit pyramidfcu.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, AM 1030, and the Voice Network over Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. Each Friday afternoon, we present the Friday Reporters Roundtable featuring local journalists sounding off on the week's top stories. Joining me on the Reporters Roundtable, Dylan Smith is with us from TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan is the editor and publisher of Tucson's independent online news service. And Jimmy Bogle is with us, the editor of the award-winning Tucson Weekly, which was named by the Publishers Group, the Arizona Publishers Association.
The Arizona Newspapers Association.
Newspaper Association. I'll get that right one of these days. But I know it was a big award. It was the best non-daily newspaper in Arizona.
Aw, shucks, Bill. You're making me blush over here.
We welcome you to the conversation as well. Anyone who has a question can join us always at question or comments, 790-2040. The Reporters Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Well, last week, Dylan and Jimmy, it was Sheriff Babu. This week, Sheriff Joe is back in the news.
Wait, are you saying that Sheriff Joe came out of the closet? Wow.
No. Oh. But
as
newsmaker sheriff, this week it's Sheriff Arpaio talking about what? No birth certificate?
Can you say newsmaker when there's no news and he's making it up, I guess. I mean, you know, this is the same old, same old.
Investigation. They investigated the long-form birth certificate and found out that it was a fake, according to him, because Maricopa County apparently is really big into Hawaii-type stuff. And the fact that there's his birth announcement in the paper, the fact that he left this trail of life in Hawaii and other places, that doesn't matter. The long-form birth certificate is fake.
And he didn't even have his own deputies do this investigation. It wasn't an MCSO investigation. He had his posse, which is an unofficial, ungovernmental, non-affiliated organization, look some stuff up on the internet, some YouTube videos or something.
That's crazy. I wasn't going to lead with Sheriff Joe, but suddenly I decided, well, why not?
Well, once again lay this to rest? I mean, whether you agree with the man or not, whether you like him or not, the president of the United States was born an American citizen.
Can I answer that question, Dylan? No, because there are certain people that are just going to grasp onto it with everything that they can. This is not going away. It'll dog Obama long after he's president, and it'll just be stupid the entire time.
Okay. Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
And we also had this dust-up over Arizona Representative Daniel Patterson, Democrat from Tucson. Tucson police responded to ongoing conflicts between Patterson and his former live-in girlfriend and campaign manager four times recently. Now, it's important to point out police made no arrests in any of those situations and no criminal charges are expected. Nonetheless, Jimmy Bogle, Democratic leaders are calling for Patterson to resign. He says he will not.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons why that these incidents are being taken seriously, well, two reasons. Number one, this is a serious incident. If you look at what Georgette Escobar is claiming, you know, yanking her out of the car, grabbing the dog, all these things, that's pretty serious. But also Patterson is developing he hasn't been convicted of anything that I know of, but he's developing a history of domestic incidents, I'll put it that way, with his former wife, Janine Schaefer. And over Christmas, there was a big dust-up where he apparently left with their daughter without alerting the mother. And I think the Democrats have just had enough of this series of things. And it is a distraction because, you know, we actually reported on the initial stuff about a year and a half ago when he all of a sudden supposedly started living with Georgette, who was his clean elections funded campaign manager, who was, you know, therefore getting government money out of it. And we thought that was kind of weird. And I think that his there's just really no defending him anymore.
You know, we didn't do a whole lot of – in fact, a year ago, I don't think we did any reporting on this. On this, we, you know, we started to look at it mainly because a lot of the Democrats just, you know, policy-wise, personality-wise, don't like this guy. They've sort of – some of them have latched on to this as a way to push him out. Others are, you know, probably legitimately concerned about the, you know, allegations of domestic violence. Of course, Patterson, you know, completely – disclaims all of these allegations. There was some information in some of the police reports that contradicted some of the initial allegations that his ex-girlfriend, ex-campaign manager made, you know, things about the dog, this and that. It's really
he said,
it's completely he said, exactly. She said. I don't, you know, absent, you know, this going into court, which it probably never will, I don't know that we're ever really going to know the truth about what's going on here.
So much for personalities. Mr. Patterson, we talked a little bit about that, and we talked a little bit about Sheriff Joe. But now let's move on to candidates. The growing list that it had been growing.
It's a scroll at this point.
For the special CD8.
Raise your hand if you are not running for Congress.
CD8 special election on the Republican side. At one point, Dylan, it looked like we had six. Two of the candidates did not gather enough signatures. So we've got Frank Antonori, Dave Sitton, Jesse Kelly, Martha McSally. And then on the Democratic side, we have Ron Barber, the former district director for Gabrielle Giffords, whose friends and supporters gathered over 7,000 signatures. That's impressive.
It was more signatures than all of the Republican candidates managed to gather all together. And they did it in a pretty short period of time, just a couple of weeks. So
anything into that?
I will say yes. Not necessarily the signatures, but I think that it's going to be a very tough road to haul for whatever Republican emerges from this tough primary, because Ron Barber's got so much support. I mean, there's a growing list of moderate Republicans who are joining, he's from Steve Kosachik to former Mayor Bob Walkup to the former Sarita Mayor Lynn Skelton, one of the former mayors of Sierra Vista. A lot of people are coming out and saying, hey, for at least this, 6 months or whatever is going to be left on the term, this is the guy that went in there. And he's going to have the name recognition and he's going to have the Gabrielle Giffords stamp of approval. So it's going to be a tough race for any of these Republicans. It wouldn't surprise me if some of them were actually looking ahead to the new CD2 race and thinking maybe, by winning this primary, they can get ahead there.
Get a little momentum going
and,
into that.
You know, when they may or may not be facing Ron Barber.
It's,
And we had Steve Farley here on the Buckmaster Show announcing his candidacy. And Steve admits there is confusion out there about, are you now are you in this special primary? And he wanted to point out, and right at the top of the interview, that no, he's behind Ron Barber in this.
Well, Farley almost threw his hat into the special election.
Yes.
Paula Bout almost threw her hat in. Matt Hines actually did for a few days and then pulled it back out of the ring in favor of Ron Barber for the special election. All three of them are still running in the fall. They're running for that. Barber hasn't said whether he's in or out in the fall. You've got Nan Walden, who's probably going to run in the fall.
Yep.
It's, for the average bear who doesn't keep up with this stuff
on a
daily basis, it's kind of like, just this swirl of names and faces that they half recognize. It's got to be, for both sides when it comes down to the fall race, I think kind of a tough primary race.
And for Matt Hines, Paula Abbott, and Steve Farley, the ideal scenario for them would be Ron Barber being elected to fill out the term of Gabrielle Giffords, and then Ron and the Giffords folks endorsing one of those three.
That would be the pipe dream, but I don't know if it's going to happen. I mean, that's you're saying that for the normal average bearer, which means something
average
different to me.
Average consumer.
But anyway, but to political nerds, this is just utterly fascinating. And it's going to be fun to see. But that's the big question that everyone, Republican, Democrat, you name it, wants to know. Is Ron Barber – now we shouldn't say he's won even the special election yet, although I think he's the heavy favorite at this point. That's what a lot of people are looking for, is he going to run? Because if he decides to run, these Democrats who are trying to raise money are going to have to decide whether they're in or out. And the new CD2 is a little bit more more Democratic leaning. It's pretty much a dead toss-up district, whereas CD8 has a slightly bigger Republican advantage than CD2 does. So it's going to be interesting. And I think the key player in all of this is Ron Barber and what he's going to decide. And a big key thing is when he's going to announce whatever
he's decided.
A lot of
the Republicans who are running in the special election, running in the primary, there are already hammering Ron on the caretaker placeholder issue, saying, we need somebody in there now to represent us now, not just for a few months. And, they've sort of got a point there, don't they?
12:44 on the Buckmaster Show. Jimmy Bogle is with me. He's the editor of the Tucson Weekly, and Dylan Smith is the editor-publisher of TucsonSentinel.com, talking a little politics here. I hadn't put this gentleman into the mix in kind of my preview when we kind of discussed what we were going to talk about, but
throwing us a curveball.
Yeah, this kind of broke today about Arizona classroom spending. Really, I guess it's the lowest level in 11 years for the per capita classroom spending in Arizona, and it sort of ties in with the Arizona State Senators voting. I believe it was on Monday, for legislation that could undermine any effort by voters to increase their own sales taxes for education, because, that special sales tax on education expires soon. And the talk up in Phoenix has been, well, should we do something to let the voters have a chance to extend it? And I'm sort of tying in classroom spending with this.
There's this Grover Norquist arm of the Republican Party that believes that any taxes for any reason should not be increased, period. And some people are willing, as this move that the Senate took, are willing to go as far as saying that even if the voters want their taxes raised to pay for something, then no, they can't. And that, to me, I think that except for various basic rights issues, whatever the voters want, they should get. But there's definitely a lot of people who have a lot of power in our legislature who disagree and think taxes, period, bad, period, the end, period.
Well, it's kind of confusing to me, and this happens on both sides of the aisle. Just on a philosophical basis, at some point, people break down, well, the people think best about this issue, and on another, well, the politicians think best on this issue. And it's, shouldn't we try and hold people to some sort of consistency when they're representing us, instead of just holding a finger up to the wind and, well, I guess this way on this one.
What fun would that be, Dylan? Jeez.
Well,
you're such a killjoy.
Sorry for wanting an effective, efficient government. Yeah, my bad.
You're
right. That we'd have absolutely nothing to write about or talk about if that were the case, because there would be no news if things weren't a mess.
Let's talk about Rio Nuevo.
Speaking of messes.
Councilwoman Rahina Romero was on the Buckmaster Show this week, and she was talking about this ongoing dispute between the Rio Nuevo Board and the city of Tucson, and two big events have decided that they're going to move on from the TCC. One of them is the International Mariachi Conference, and it just seems that they really are at a stalemate now, the Rio Nuevo Board and the city. They've been having this ongoing mediation, but it doesn't seem to be paying off.
Well, we sure haven't heard much about it lately, and I think it's important to, put these the two big events that are leaving the TCC in perspective. On one hand, the TCC we know needs improvements and it needs them badly, but on the other hand, if you haven't been out to the new Casino del Sol, and seen their new conference area, it's beautiful and gorgeous. So even if TCC were in pristine shape, it's possible they might have decided to leave anyway. But let's just say I think we can all agree that the status and the condition of TCC is not helping things. And the fact that the Rio Nuevo and the city are still fighting over the very basic things like, who's going to help fix the TCC, that isn't helping either.
And we don't even really know exactly what they're fighting about. We just know the broad strokes. Yep. All the details of these mediation discussions are secret. The city council's, said they want to get that out to the public. And Rio Nuevo said, no, we need to, just keep talking about this. So we don't even know, precisely what either government body's negotiating points are right now.
Well, there is the school of thought that that the Rio Nuevo board is perhaps trying to sabotage the city of Tucson, and eventually the Rio Nuevo district will be taken away by the state legislature. I mean, that's out there too.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of merit to that theory because of who appointed, you know, the legislature, who wasn't very happy with, you know, the Republican legislature, which wasn't very happy with the Democratic Tucson City Council. And, you know, there were some obvious legitimate issues with the Rio Nuevo, but that's why that theory is out there. And then when you see how the Rio Nuevo board is acting and some of the people who are on it, like Rick Grinnell, and some of the things they're saying, and that theory starts to have a little bit of legs.
The Weekly had a good it was your cover story about Rosemont, wasn't it?
Yes.
And it's going to be interesting to see how the whole thing plays out now with the EPA issuing what Tony Davis called a scorching pair of letters blasting the proposed Rosemont mine. But who knows how this thing's going to go, Dylan?
Well, again, government is a tangled mess. This, you know, I think it's going to continue to play out for a good long while.
All right, we're going to have to run. Jimmy and Dylan, thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
You too, sir. Okay. And everybody else out there.
Thank you. And this. With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
We are twisting and shouting by the pool, and the weather is going to be beautiful, almost 80 degrees. That means Matt Russell certainly will have on the Oh boy, it's not a pretty sight. The Speedo with the Hawaiian shirt. But Matt, it's good to have you back with us. You took a week off, took a skiing vacation up in northern Arizona. You in that snowsuit must have been quite a sight.
Yeah, I had my son. I was taking him up to NAU to take a tour of the campus. He's going to be college bound before we know it. And he wanted to stay as far away from me as possible on the slopes, Bill. I mean, as you said, not a pretty picture.
He's coming down the slope. Well, let's talk some fine dining. Folks who like, what do you have going on for us this week?
Yeah, well, Bill, this weekend, as you said, is going to be the best weather weekend that we've seen all year here in Tucson. So my Friday pick has alfresco written all over it. So the patio at The Fine Thai Dining on Congress and Stone downtown is the venue for Vila's famous Friday wine tasting, where your listeners are going to have the opportunity to enjoy five wines selected by Vila herself for only $5. And she's going to be happy to recommend some traditional Thai food to pair with those wines. And then starting at 7 o'clock, Bill, Bruce Halper, which you might know as Phony Bennett, is going to be performing live on the patio, singing all of your favorite Rat Pack hits. This is a great way to kick off a delicious weekend.
Will he do the famous I Left My Heart?
Oh, I mean, the numbers of requests for that one, are pretty long, so you can almost guarantee it.
All right. I can do Thai dining on Friday. What if I'm feeling like a little Mexican south of the border food?
Perfect. And to keep that sizzle and spice going into Saturday, our good friends at Ziva's Mexican Bistro, of course, at 4590 East Broadway, they're going to be hosting a live salsa band at 6 o'clock on Saturday night. And you know, Bill, salsa has been called the essential pulse of Latin music, and it's going to be front and center at Ziva's on Saturday night. And to cool you off after all of that salsa dancing, they're going to be mixing up their famous margaritas and serving them for half price. So, Bill, it's time to get your dancing shoes out, my friend.
After one of their margaritas, believe me, that's going to be fun on the dance floor.
Indeed.
And all weekend long, folks who love, and there's a huge group, it's almost like a cult following, that people love the Renaissance Fair, Renaissance festivals. They like to get into costume, and that's fun.
Yeah, it's one of our favorite events of the year because you can get a grilled turkey leg the size of a small child, Bill. The Renaissance Festival returns this weekend and runs every Saturday and Sunday in March. Circus-style entertainment, jousting nights, fine artisans, and, of course, those famous, what I call Miracle-Grow turkey legs, along with some other European-style country fair and pub food. That's the Arizona Renaissance Festival. Every weekend in March, east of Apache Junction on U.S. Highway 60, right near the Superstition Mountains. I can't wait.
We are speaking with the man we have dubbed the Culinary Cruiser, Matt Russell, award-winning public communications official with, he is the official for the award-winning Russell Public Communications and their palatial offices up on Sunrise Drive. I mean, Matt, congratulations. I also heard not only are you a dedicated foodie, you're a wonderful public relations guy, but you really believe in this community. Is this true? You are named to the DM50.
Yes, indeed. I was privileged to be inducted just yesterday into this fine organization that supports the airmen and their families at the base and really celebrates Davis Monthan Air Force Base as a real asset here in southern Arizona. So it's a privilege for me to be able to serve and to support the airmen and their families. What an honor.
All right, Matt Russell, we want to wish you the best of weekends. 80-degree weather. What more could you ask for? You will, speaking of Russell Public Communications, I have a feeling a phone call will be going into the front desk in a few minutes that you are decided to begin the weekend right now.
Let the blenders begin.
Have a good one, Matt.
You too, Bill. Thanks.
And we've got some good news. Mayor Rothschild today unveiled the Tucson Parks Foundation's Help Bring Back the Splash program, aimed at reopening a number of city pools that have been closed due to budget reductions since 2009. KVOI President Doug Martin, along with other community leaders in cooperation with Ward 5 Councilman Richard Fimbres, have developed this campaign inviting local residents, civic organizations, and businesses to donate funds to reopen Himmel, Escalante, Kennedy, Jesse Owens, Freedom, and Mission Manor pools. Now, it costs $40,000 to $60,000 to operate and maintain each of those pools. At this morning's kickoff, Mayor Rothschild reported that the Catalina Rotary Club has donated $25,000, and other major donors include Jim Click, Royal and Watson Car Dealerships, Nova Home Loans, and Pima Medical Institute. That is very good news about those pools. Jacob, Purple Heart, Menlo, and Mansfield pools already have been funded. Anyone interested can find out more. Go to TucsonParksFoundation.org for the Splash campaign. The Friday Focus and Friday Roundtable in this portion of the Friday show, presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley at True Continuing Care Retirement Community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Also, want to remind you, if you're looking for a good CPA, it's Flowers Rieger and Associates, public certified public accountants. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of Team Buckmaster, you know what I say, it only takes two to be a team. Producer Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. Have a great weekend.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.